to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
Welcome, Left Traffic Nation, to episode 120 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Pretty low-key for me this weekend. Thursday, went out to the bar to watch the Michigan debacle, which I will get into that with Aaron later on. Friday, went out to dinner with some friends. Saturday, my buddy Zaylin, who you guys have heard me talk about, came over to watch some basketball after the Xfinity race. I watched the truck race from Friday night on Sunday and then got dialed in for 500 miles to Texas. And then went and played a little trivia after that and watched some guys in green and white upset Duke. Like I said, we'll get into all that later with Aaron. So, pretty low-key, which was nice. Also, Sunday, hopefully you guys saw after the race, Yunker Motorsports debuted some pictures of the new car with the Lapped Traffic Podcast logo plastered all over it, along with Freddy the Pizza Man. And his 501c3 charity on the hood. So incredible to see that. I have some pictures on the website, so go check that out. And can't wait to see that car in person. And busy week coming up. Thursday, opening day here in Detroit, taking the day off to go hang out downtown, which is always a lot of fun. Normally we go to the game, but the Tigers, man, they are going to be so bad this year, like 100-game loss bad. If they lose 100 games, I will not be surprised. So that said, opening day, just going downtown to hang out because it is a blast. Detroit is one of those opening day cities that put on one hell of a celebration and just a great party atmosphere. So looking forward to that. And Sunday, if you are a wrestling fan, it is our Super Bowl, WrestleMania 35 Sunday night, which I am so pumped for. Bristol during the day, WrestleMania at night, Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair for the main event. I'm stoked. Enough of me rambling. Let's see what's coming up today. Well, since Aaron was at Texas and everyone loves Aaron, he's going to be on here in just a minute. He's going to talk some racing with me this weekend, along with our usual bracket recap and weather coming up this weekend for Bristol. Social media shout outs. Like I said, Aaron's going to talk some weather, your lucky dog, your lap down picks, of course, and fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get things rolling. Let's bring Mr. Aaron Studwell. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather, on the web at raceweather.net. Mr. Aaron Studwell, sir, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am awesome. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. How about yourself?
Not bad at all. Welcome onto the show a little early. How was Texas, man? Quick synopsis of your time there.
I'm going to say, and your Michigan listeners or Northern listeners are going to go, huh, but it was cold.
It wasn't
like y'all dealt with, but it was, we drove up Saturday morning and picked our son up at Texas A&M, drove up, went through the cold front. Temperatures dropped about 18 degrees in about, 15 minutes, mostly because we were driving into the colder air as well. Get there, it's in the 40s with 25, 30 mile an hour winds, and we're sitting in the stands. Luckily, we had layered up. The racing was good. Texas is always a great venue, so I really do enjoy going there. It's just a lot of fun. So, yeah, I'm glad we could go. I did enjoy the cup racing more than the Xfinity racing, personally.
Sure.
But, it was a great weekend. Glad we could go.
Excellent. So you heard me mention at my intro there about opening day. Is opening day a big thing for which Texas team are you closer to, Houston or the Rangers?
I am physically closer to Houston.
Okay.
It is a really big thing. That being said, I'm an Orioles fan. I grew up near Baltimore, and that was before the Nationals were there. So I'm an Orioles fan, and they're actually having a much better start to the season than I may have thought. I'm actually pretty happy with how things are going for them this season.
It's funny you mentioned Baltimore there. My wife, who will go to sporting events, will like to go out to the bar and watch the big games because she likes the atmosphere part. My wife is the type that likes it for the social part of it. She's not going to sit down and watch a Michigan football game with me at home on a Saturday afternoon. But if it's like Michigan, Michigan State, and we're going out, then, you know, she'll get into it. That said, she was in Baltimore last summer, and her friend drove up from Richmond. And I'm like, you guys have to go to Camden Yards. I think they were playing Toronto. And I went on StubHub. I literally bought them the cheapest. I'm like, I want to go to Camden Yards so bad. It's like one of the coolest, shortest ballparks. It's on the bucket list of ballparks to get to. And they went. And I'm super jealous that my wife's been to Camden Yards before I have.
No, it's a beautiful venue. I love going there. It's even for being an older, I'll say an older ballpark, because I think they've actually just kind of passed 20 years recently. It's a classic. It really is. And I don't think you need much better place to see a ball game.
That's awesome.
Cause I've been to the ballpark at Arlington, and when they're selling seats to say obstructed view, because you've got a wrought iron, a girder in front of you out in the outfield. I'm like, did they really think about this when they built this place?
I think Old Tiger Stadium had a few of those bad boys too. not Comerica Park. Comerica Park's perfect. You can see from anywhere in Comerica Park, which is nice. Speaking of keeping up with the baseball talk, you are a big fantasy baseball player. I did fantasy baseball 1 year and I did okay, but I'm like, I can't do this. This is too long, too in depth. Give me my fantasy football and I'm good.
Yeah, I'm in a league. This is our 26th year in a keeper league. We'd started when we were all grad students at Texas A&M. There were five of us. So we actually did a five owner league. We did just AL East and Central. We didn't want to bother with the AL West because you never saw the games.
Sure.
We did our scoring out of a baseball weekly, and we had to do our scoring by hand.
Yeah, this is pre-Yahoo Sports annual calculation. Yes.
It is as much work as you want to put into it. But, yeah, it's a lot of work. This season we lost two owners. So Alex, my son, has a team this season. And it's now multi-generational. And we've had the same core of owners since the mid-90s. And we've expanded, contracted, I think, as all leagues do, but we've had the same core ownership group, and it's been a lot of fun. And I do have a CBS team with just some people I've met through fantasy hockey.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, this is maybe, I think, our 11th season of using CBS for that platform. I've been doing it for a while, and I love it. And it gives me a reason to watch games when I may not have any.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's, that's part of the thing, like, for football. For me, you know, it's – I don't need to just watch the Lions and the Patriots. You know, I'm dialed into Sunday night. I probably don't watch much Monday night football, but, I'll keep an eye on all the games, you know, bouncing back and forth during race commercials and stuff like that. Cause Lord knows we get a ton of race commercials. So I'll always flip over to whatever football.
Yeah. I was on and off Twitter at the cup race, and somebody'd write something and all of a sudden I was like, I wouldn't know. There's a commercial. Yeah. Like, boy,
I swear it's like clockwork. And if someone has the math or the numbers on this, I'd love to see them. I wonder on average how many times a year the first caution comes out during the first commercial break. It is like, without fail, it always seems to happen.
Yeah, I know that somebody keeps track of like how many commercials and how often they run and how often they run side by side. That'd be some interesting work to go back and say, okay, first caution was during a commercial or during side by side or actually during or not on camera.
Yeah, not because
it might be somebody back at might be somebody at the back of the pack losing it.
Yep. Alrighty, sir. What do you say? You want to talk a little racing here?
Oh, most definitely, always.
All right, over to the trucks in Texas. Grant Enfinger picks up the stage one win. Kyle Busch with the stage two win, and Kyle Busch, our eventual race winner. Sir, I know you weren't at the truck race. You were at the Xfinity and Cup race, but man, cautions were the name of the game this weekend, and early cautions at that Turn one and two were just brutal all weekend long for all three series. Traction compound didn't seem to do anything. You heard everyone talk all weekend. It took five or six laps for the compound to get hot to even do anything. Cars were sliding all around, especially on the restarts. The in-person perspective, what did turns one and two look like?
Loose. I mean, you'd sit there and it's like, okay, oh, there's a caution. You need to look over towards turn one, primarily turn two by the time they actually got stopped. And I think that's where, and this is one thing, you know, we didn't have a scanner, so I kind of relied on Twitter through a lot of the racing. And when I guess Busch lost it over there, and then during the truck race, Alfredo lost it over there, set his truck on fire.
Yes.
So fried Alfredo. I'm not sure if that's it.
I like that. That's a good one.
But just luckily he was fine too.
Yeah.
It was loose and definitely new to watch over there for anything going on. But we actually sat closer to our seats were at the end of pit road. So we had a really good view of turns one and two from where we were sitting. So
excellent. Well, during the truck race, it was a lot of fun to watch. Moffitt, Kyle Busch flip-flopped the lead early and often throughout the race. Like I mentioned, caution's the name of the game. Caution on lap four for Todd Gilliland, lap 12 for Harrison Burton. Gus Dean, Angela Rook on lap 20. Three cautions within 20 laps of the truck race in the first stage, and ended up having four cautions when Gus Dean brought it out with nine to go. A little crazy. All these cautions so early at a mile and a half track. You know, we haven't seen a lot of cautions early on in 2019 throughout all three series. No, we've gotten a lot of green flag racing throughout all three series, throughout all three stages. So to see the truck race start off like this, four cautions during stage one, I kind of realized, well, I watched the truck race on Sunday before the cup race, but I was keeping an eye on Twitter. So when I saw all these cautions coming out, I knew we were in for a hell of a weekend as far as that was concerned. We got a four-lap shootout to end stage one. Enfinger was able to take the lead away from Moffitt to pick up the stage one win. And unfortunately, Enfinger started what was bound to be a bad weekend for everybody on pit road. He picked up a penalty, too many guys over the wall, and that started one hell of a trend. There were so many penalties on pit road this weekend. It was crazy. Let's see. Restart for stage two. Crafton and Kyle Busch were on the front row. Four wide racing during the truck race. Guys trying to go three and four wide outside of that groove, especially in one and two, was definitely interesting to see. I was surprised we got as long as a green flag run as we did in stage two. But like Aaron said, Alfredo, the 54, goes around, and they actually had to red flag that one for a minute. Lots of fluid on the track. Back to green with 14 laps to go in stage two. Busch and Crafton back on the front row. Aaron, you know, Kyle has won a lot early on here in 2019. But the one thing I will say, he obviously takes a lot of flack for supposedly going and taking candy from babies in the truck in the Xfinity series. But he's been challenged a lot. He's not pulling away with 5 and 10 second leads. He's been challenged, which that makes it fun to watch, knowing that these guys are going out there and giving him a run for his money.
I agree. And I do feel bad for the guys who are trying to earn stage points and maybe in playoff points. And maybe there's a way around all this by having these guys come down and looking at the scoring system again. But I know that the drivers who are in the lower levels, who are working their way up, they like racing against the Kyle Busch. It's that challenge. It's also learning from a very experienced driver. And what surprised me, and I saw it, and I didn't verify it, but I want to assume it's correct. Of the top five finishers in the truck race, Kyle Busch was actually the youngest.
Yeah, it's funny. I had wrote that down. I was going to mention that. That tweet was sent out by Dustin Long, who works with NBC. So I would take that as a valid tweet there, and I'd take him at his word on that one.
Right.
You know, it's like you mentioned, you know, they like going out there. You know, you look at Cole Custer, who was able to hold off Kyle Busch, who finished second to him at Fontana for the win. That had to feel a lot sweeter knowing you held off Kyle Busch to win a race. Like, that's got to be really cool to know that you do that and that, you know, you damn well earned that thing if you were able to hold off Kyle Busch.
And it's also something that both sponsors note, that other teams note, and that you went out and you ran with the best and you won. And it's a way to promote your career. It's a way to move up. And I think that's good for those kids, and it's good for it's good for those drivers. It's good for those drivers, and it's good for the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you mentioned, you know, the racing for the playoffs and the stage points. I've been saying it for a while since they kind of came out with this format. And once we saw what was going to happen and see how valuable playoff points were and all that, you know, so this is going to be a broken record for some. But, you know, I don't see the harm in awarding the playoff points or the stage win, if you will, to the first series regular. In, you know, right. if for example, if Justin Allgaier is running second to Kyle Busch at the end of stage one, why have an empty playoff point? Let the series regulars get those playoff points to help them in the playoffs. They're obviously running good on the track. So if it finishes that way, stage one ends in the Xfinity race, Justin Allgaier second, then give Justin Allgaier the playoff point and award, you know, the 9 stage points to whoever in third or whoever is the next closest.
Right. And then only go down to the top 10. So you may not have somebody who gets 1 stage point.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see here. All right. So we pick it back up here with the truck race. Let's see. We restarted with 38 to go with Kyle Busch and Matt Crafton back up front. Moffitt restarted 10th, made his way up to 5th within 3 laps. He was on fresh tires. However, Moffitt would get into contact with Ben Rhodes. Tire goes down, and that would be the start and the demise of my fantasy picks for this week with Moffitt. Let's see. Friesen with some good looks on Kyle, just not able to get it done. Kyle Busch holds him off for his 55th Truck Series win. But like I said, Kyle is winning, but he's being challenged. Moffitt might have had something for him on fresher tires. Literally, for 30 laps, Kyle and Moffitt were literally side by side or within 2/10 of a second. I mean, he was there. Kyle was not able to pull away for literally a solid 30 laps, and that was a lot of fun to watch. Let's see here. Some notables. Crafton gets his 3rd top 5 of 2019. Rookies Tyler Ankrum and Tyler Dipple with a couple of top 10s. Ben Rhodes followed up his run last week with a top 10. Moffitt ended up 19th, and Bubba Wallace with a top 20. 9 total cautions for the truck race at Texas. I enjoyed the truck race. I know you said you liked the cup race over the Xfinity race. I think you would have liked the truck race if you'd have been able to see that bad boy. Run down to the standings here real quick. Stuart Friesen is in first, Grant Enfinger in second, Ben Rhodes in third, Sauter fourth, Moffitt fifth, Crafton sixth, Austin Hill in seventh, and Todd Gilliland wraps out the top 8. Unfortunately, this was the last truck race until May 3rd at Dover, an entire month off for the truck series. Just a bummer. I hate that. All right, sir, Xfinity time. After an off week, the Xfinity Series was back at the track this weekend. Christopher Bell picks up the Stage 1 win. Ryan Sieg with some strategy to pick up the Stage 2 win, and Kyle Busch picks up the win. What'd you think of the race overall there, sir?
It was good. It was, with Bell running kind of, 127 laps led out of the 200?
Yes. Yes, yeah, he was out there for quite some time.
He kind of thought he was going to win it all, and just wanted to be in Kyle Busch at the end.
Yeah, yep, no, it definitely Kyle Busch show. Definitely thought he might have got the sweep. This was a dash for cash qualifier. Top 4 Xfinity regulars next week are racing for $100,000. JGR on the front row to start it off. Again, turns one and two were the question of the day. Another early caution to start the Xfinity Series race as the 51 Jeremy Clemens goes around on lap one to bring out a quick yellow. Back to green on lap six. Things calmed down, and Bell ran away with it. Kyle able to get up to second, but Bell over a two-second lead to take the stage one win there. Like you said, Christopher Bell definitely on the move. What did you think of Brandon Jones running a lap with the jack attached to the car there?
I will tell you, when you're in the stands, and next time I want to get a scanner or be able to listen, I did not know that till now.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
No.
Yep. He took a lap with the jack. He pulled away a little too quickly. Jack wasn't gone yet and took a lap there. And it was tough for him because he was running a hell of a race. He was able to rebound a little bit. Penalties plaguing everybody this weekend. He rebounded, but then unfortunately had a late race incident as well. Early yellow, stage two, 13 laps in, the 66 and 52 go around. Allgaier and Brad Keselowski, man, they had some on-track altercations there. Were you able to pick up on that from the stands?
Yeah, you could definitely tell that was going on. They actually focused the camera on that and brought extra attention to it, because you may not have known if you weren't listening, but yeah, they actually focused on that during the race on Big Hoss, the big video screen they have there.
Yeah. Let's see. Ray Breck, Black Jr. brings out the fifth caution as he goes around in turns one and two. Three guys, Sieg, Chastain, and Haley, stay out for a three-lap shootout for stage two, with Kyle Busch leading the rest of the field on fresh tires in third. And this was a gamble that paid off for Ryan Sieg. Holds off the field for his first ever stage win. If he doesn't get that playoff point, the gamble doesn't pay off. But it worked, and he was able to finish with a top 10. So that was that had to be cool to see those guys not on fresh tires hold off the field for a three-lap shootout there.
And when we saw them stay out, I figured maybe they're shooting for fourth or fifth, because I wasn't sure. That's one thing you did notice. There wasn't a big tire fall off, and you didn't see a lot of tires being replaced. As a lot of people were taking none or two. But yeah, them staying out, I figure, okay, you know what? He's going to wind up fourth or fifth. He's going to get a stage point. But it was impressive how well he restarted and had pulled away and then held everybody off. And yep. Then it was great to see him get that stage win.
Yep. Tyler Riddick and Kyle Busch restart stage three on the front row. Bell made a dive bomb, able to take the lead back from everybody. Brandon Jones up to sixth after his issues with the jack with 95 to go. Allgaier gets caught up in the middle of a lapped car, and Custer goes around to bring out the yellow. Tyler Riddick ended up winning the race off pit road there with 72 to go and 68 to go. The 19 of Jones and Custer went around after Custer was running a consistent race and Jones having a nice rebound. Restart there was Bell back to the lead. Kyle gets loose, goes up to the track, while Bell and Riddick race for the lead with 58 to go. Then it became a little bit of a fuel mileage race, 14 to go. Fuel came into play after a caution-filled race early. Yellow came out as the 51 of Jeremy Clemens stalls on pit road with 11 to go. Kyle Busch leads off pit road for fuel only for him and Reddick. 18 with his best restart of the day. He was definitely sliding around on the restarts early on, but out in front there with 18 to go. With five to go, he was able to hold on to things and pick up his 95th Xfinity Series win. Was looking to bring out the broom, but was not able to get it done on Sunday.
Now, when we saw with Clements on pit road, we're like, this is going to be it. They're going to have to call a caution. You knew they were going to have to call a caution with that.
Yep.
Because of where he was sitting. And it's just like, it was a little deflating because you knew how things were going to go from there.
Yep. Yep. Let's see here. Three rookies in the top 10, Briscoe, Haley, John Hunter Nemechek, Tommy Joe, who will be on PETM this week with a top 20. Nice run for him. Cole Custer ended up finishing 34th, Brennan Jones 33rd. Just like the Truck Series, 9 cautions with the Xfinity Series race. And quick shout out to Ross Chastain, who has ran every single race so far in all 3 series. You know, it's one thing to do when there's 2 series running at a track, but on the few weekends a year when we get all 3 series, him and Kyle Busch this weekend raced 1,020 miles, and that's just race miles. You add practices for all 3 series, qualifying for all 3 series. That is a lot of seat time in a 3-day period.
Yeah, it's impressive, and it's been impressive how well. And everybody's kind of complaining about Kyle Busch, and nobody's complaining about Ross Chastain because of the optics of it. And then maybe we just ask Harvick what he thinks about Chastain driving all this.
I am never going to live down that Darlington race. all right, these standings in the Xfinity Series. Tyler Reddick in first, Christopher Bell in second, Cole Custer third, Michael Annette fourth, Austin Cindric in fifth, Justin Allgaier in sixth, Jones in seventh, Noah Gregson in eighth, Ryan Sieg in ninth, John Hunter Nemechek in 10th, Chase Briscoe 11th, Justin Haley in 12th. That is 5 rookies that are currently in the playoffs right now. Yes, playoffs, the way things are lined up. So Saturday,
it is never too early to talk about the playoffs in NASCAR the way we structure it.
Never too early. Never. I love it. Let's see. Xfinity guys on the track Saturday, 1 o'clock from Bristol Motor Speedway. All right. Over to the Cup race. This was interesting. Joey Logano, the stage 1 win. Denny Hamlin, stage 2. And race winner, Denny Hamlin. Not as many cautions on the Cup race, only 5, 2 of those for the stage breaks. But this race was filled with a surprisingly high amount of pit road issues and penalties. And apparently you can overcome those. Just ask race winner, Denny Hamlin. 2 pit road penalties, able to move from the back to the front twice. Now, some of that, I think, had to do with the 2 to 3 different pit cycles everybody was on. I think if more guys were on the same cycle, might have been a different outcome. But, man, what'd you think?
That was overall, I think it was the best race of the weekend that I saw. So I'll put I liked it better than the Xfinity race. I want to ask you a quick question.
Yes.
I was there, and I'll give you my answer, though, too. 500 miles.
Yes.
For this race.
Yes.
For this specific race, was it too long?
I don't think so. I think 500 miles is ideal for me personally. I would like to see some more 500-mile races. I think you get to the 500 mark, that adds some longer stages, adds a little bit more endurance from a driver perspective, a team perspective, a car perspective. I personally like the 500-mile races. The one thing, you know, we get a lot of our 500-mile races are typically at our super speedways, which are over 2 miles, and our mile-and-a-half tracks. I don't know that we have a 500-mile race at a 2-mile track. I don't believe that we do.
I don't think so, no.
You know, so I wouldn't mind seeing a 500-mile race at a 2-mile track and see what happens there. But, no, I personally think 500 miles is ideal.
I agree with you on this one. I mean, I've been and I've seen boring 500-mile races. I think if this was 400, I would have walked out of there saying, oh, I want more. And I understand that's kind of what you want your fans walking with us from, saying, oh, I want more. But this was perfect. And I'm looking at display here. The time of the race was 3 hours and 16 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the length of a football game.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot of comparison there in terms of, well, it's too long. Maybe if you're sitting in the stands, I could see where it gets a little long. But if you're sitting in the stands at the track from the drop of the green to the drop of the checkered, you're not experiencing race weekend at your track. There, you know, you've got 35 other races that you can watch on TV or whatever and get all of them in. You know, you obviously want to see the drop of the green. You want to see the end of each stage and a couple restarts. But go see your track, go walk around, see the facility, you know, take it all in. So from that regard, I think more people maybe complain at the track that it might be a little too long. But man, no, like I said, I'd prefer 500 miles.
Yeah, I guess. And honestly, that's what Alex and I did. We sat, well, during stage breaks, we got up, made a pit stop, maybe grab something to eat, something to drink, come back. But we walked on Saturday, we walked over 3 miles. On Sunday, we walked over 6 miles. We went to the tweet up before the race, and Jeff Gluck and Bob Pockris and social media people from our person from Texas Motor Speedway was there. And we walked all over the place. We walked down, and it's nice. And this is, I hadn't been to a race in a bit as a fan. The souvenir had the souvenir haulers back rather than the Fanatic stand.
Yep.
I understand there is an economy of scale with the Fanatic stand, but I think people like having the souvenir haulers and having the different displays and going to all that and seeing all that and seeing the people. But yeah, for the race, I would say I'd probably watch 2/3 of it from the front half of my seat.
Sure. That's awesome.
Yeah, you sort of sit leaning forward, watching and just watching the whole thing, and occasionally looking at your phone, like, okay, what's going on here? You know, we're going to run through the race in a minute, but yeah, when we're getting to the cycling and the pit cycles, I was picking up the phone and looking at Twitter and saying, people were saying, okay, this person's on this strategy, or this, or Hamlin could only make it to 13 to go. And you know, now everybody's coming in for gas and everybody's on the same different cycles. I had seen somebody say, hey, look, if this stays green, Jones is going to win. And I'm not sure if they had miscalculated or if Jones had miscalculated. But it was really interesting to see those different strategies and how it all played out.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun to see different strategies. And part of that has to do when the cautions come out. You know, if you get an early caution on a 500-mile race, that will play into strategy. Some guys might come down, some might come down for two, some might come down fuel only. You know, if you get a caution or you get a long green flag stretch during a 500-mile race, then yes, obviously everyone's going to kind of try to split the stages. But if you get an early yellow, it's beneficial, I think, in terms of making things more interesting from that regard. And speaking of interesting, let's add another debacle on qualifying. My gosh, if you guys have not seen, and I don't know how you wouldn't have, if you haven't seen Clint Bowyer's interview after qualifying, that was pure gold. Clint Bowyer equals gold to NASCAR. That's all I have to say. You know, NASCAR comes out with rules to prevent what happened last week. Then they don't, in my opinion, adhere to them. You know, first off, I'm going to say Newman clogged the middle. That's all I will say.
Yes.
He clogged the middle. And that was NASCAR said, hey, can't clog the middle. Apparently you clogged the middle. I'm going to reiterate, I love my idea. I really do. Group qualifying rounds 1 and 2 and a single car to old school style run for the final round. Take the top 12 guys and then let them do a single run to determine the starting order for those 12. I think that would give everybody your group qualifying, your single car qualifying. It'll still help condense time and it will eliminate that issue all around. So that's my story. And
Before we get to that, before we have to change the rules again, how about we enforce the rules we have?
Well, let's not go get crazy. It's easier to change than enforce. So,
okay, that's fine. But I will give kudos for Daniel Suarez, who essentially went out and did a single lap run by himself.
Yeah.
Still finished fourth.
Yeah.
That is a strong car. A strong driver. I think he may get his first win this season. And he just wasn't going to play around. And the other 11, and then I understand there's confusion with Almirola and who should have gone and who should have moved ahead and when they crossed the line. And, you know, it's just a cluster.
Yes.
Not the fun kind.
No.
And it's just frustrating. And I sat and watched that, and I'm like, why are we even at this stage that we can't figure out how to qualify? send, if somebody's going to break the rules, you're going to the back of the field.
Sure.
Yep. And that may be the best or worst punishment we can dole out. But they've got to enforce the rules, and it's frustrating to the fans. It's got to be frustrating to the drivers. It's like, look, I know what I have to do, but I got some putts up there blocking the way. Nobody's going. Now, if they short, maybe they shortened the period a little bit, or you don't have a choice. When that, you can either wait at the end or you can go now. You say there's, okay, you have how much time for Q3? 5 minutes?
Yes, five for the final.
The first car has to go within 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You have to go. And there's no sitting around, thumb up your butt. You're going to go. And maybe we make it 2 minutes.
Yeah. There's options. There are options. That's for sure. It's just a matter of, like you said, you know, we just have to enforce whatever option we go with. That I think just ends up being the key factor there.
Right.
You know. All right. Let's talk about the race for a minute here. Jimmy Johnson, his first pole since Loudon 2016. Did not realize that it had been since 2016 since Jimmy Johnson had a pole. Solid top five for Jimmy. Led some laps, had a complete race, which I think is a win for the 48 team. Something they have not been able to do on a consistent basis. But the 48 team, all of HMS, showed some speed this weekend. Byron with a top 10. Elliott fast car ended up finishing 13th, but that's not a reflection of the speed of his car.
No, that's exactly right.
Solid day for HMS at a mile and a half track. You know, is it obviously not something they can hang their hat on for the entire season, but it definitely should be a win for HMS this weekend and something that they can use to go forward on.
Yeah, I think they definitely hit on some things with this weekend, and it's a totally different track, and it's a totally different outlook when you go to Bristol, but maybe they can take the confidence they get here. And I think, you know, there's arguments as to whether momentum's an actual thing in NASCAR. And when you go to the next track and you go to the next race, how I did the previous race, you have that confidence. You may have a different setup, but you feel better about what you're doing.
Absolutely. Issue for Kyle Busch, as he tried to pit and unable to find his pit box, had to drive through, but actually picked up a spot during that whole fiasco. That was interesting. Did you notice that during the race?
We noticed that a bunch of – it wasn't just him.
No, there were guys having issues seeing this, their signs.
And what was odd is it wasn't like the sun, it was a sun angle thing, because I'm reading this and we're seeing people just kind of like, wait a minute, their pit box was just there. Yeah. Like, we're watching pit road. It's like, no, you're supposed to stop. Then you're not sure if they actually have a pass through or what's going on. And
yep, no, I'm with you.
And I don't know what was going on there. It's just people. Well, it was a weird weekend, and you kind of noted it with the penalties that, you know, and flubs and people making mistakes on pit road. It was both the crews and the drivers.
Yeah. Well, Kyle Busch. You had Denny Hamlin with two issues on pit road, an uncontrolled tire, a speeding penalty. The 19 had a long pit stop for an uncontrolled, roof flap issue. Kevin Harvick with an uncontrolled tire. Blaney went up in smokes. Larson hits though. I mean, there were just so many weird incidences this weekend. It was very weird to see.
Yeah, and it introduces the human element back in the sport.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, and that's the thing, you know, and there's pictures, all over social media, what's an uncontrolled tire and freeze frames of where tires were to when they call it to when they don't call it. You know, I know NASCAR has their digital system scoring and penalty system to pick up on that, and it should be black and white in terms of that, you know. I guess either we need to either let the system call it or let's let the human error or be a part of it again so that it's not one way or the other to where I don't know. It definitely is not consistent, which is, I know what they were going for with this whole system. So
I think the uncontrolled tire still is, they use the Hawkeye system to monitor each box.
Yes.
But I think it's still a human judgment as to uncontrolled tire or person over the wall early, because they're going to look at the freeze frame of where the person, where it would say somebody's over the wall early, they're going to look at the freeze frame of how many boxes away is the car. For an uncontrolled tire, it's outside of arm's reach, right?
I do believe that's what it is, yeah. But I
and
mean,
that's still a judgment call.
Just because it's outside of arm's reach doesn't necessarily mean it's uncontrolled. To me, uncontrolled is it's moving outside of the pit box, potentially crossing into someone else's pit box or out onto pit road. That would be an uncontrolled tire to me.
Right, but the way the rule is.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe
no,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right. No, and to me, an uncontrolled tire is it's bouncing across pit lane and heading towards the between the track and pit road if there's no wall.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then guess what? There's a number on your tire. We know it's yours.
Right. Yes. We can track that. We can track that. Let's see here. Hamlin inherited the lead towards the end here. Once the final set of the stop cycled through, Bowyer was chasing him down with 11 to go. Bowyer just did not have enough time to chase him down. Finished second, which is awesome for the 14, as those guys have struggled the last couple weeks. Nice to see him get a good finish out of that one. And, you know, as he takes a lot of flack, but, man, to overcome two penalties and get a win, that's things going right, and that's driving the hell out of the car.
Yeah, he had a fast car, and he ran away with it, because I think Bowyer was up there.
If there had been
charging
a few more laps or a restart,
right,
that would have been fun to watch.
But yeah, Hamlin just looked good, looked solid, and imagine what it's going to be like if they can have a weekend, because that's something that's been plaguing. Shoot, that plagued them. That goes back to 2018, pretty much, with the issues they've had on pit road and. Yep. Car issues, and this year they're figured out. It's not like they've eliminated the problems; they just figured out how to overcome them.
Yeah. Let's see here. A couple notables: Larson 39th, Brad Keselowski. Tough weekend, both with the Xfinity race and the Cup race. Finished 36th. McDowell 15th. Newman finished 11th, and Suarez got his first top five of the season. Finished third there. Kyle Busch is in first, Denny Hamlin second, Harvick third, Logano fourth, Almirola fifth, Keselowski sixth, Truex seventh, Blaney eighth, Elliott ninth, Kurt Busch wraps out the top 10. Bowyer, Larson, Stenhouse, Suarez, Johnson, and Eric Jones wrap out the top 16 there. And it is, without a doubt, said it before, it is the Penske and JGR show early in 2019. Seven races in, four wins for JGR, and three for Penske. Unbelievable. Two teams are the only ones with some wins this year.
Yeah, kind of tough weekend for young Ryan Blaney as well. He was running up front. What, he led maybe like 20, 25 laps?
Yep.
And, yeah, it's tough to see him not actually, I'm looking at it now, 45 okay. Laps. Yeah, that was a tough weekend for him.
Absolutely.
Or tough situation.
Penske, yeah. Penske had a rough day overall. So, but
yeah, I was surprised to see Keselowski back out there. It was like he went back out and was like, oh, he may finish ahead of Blaney.
Yeah, yep. Alrighty, next race this Sunday from the Last Great Coliseum at 2:00 in Bristol. Sir, it's time to hit some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC, and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, Acast, wherever you listen to your podcast. Search Lap Traffic. That's all you got to do. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 followers, inching closer and closer to that, just about 150 more or so to go. And I will be giving away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. Some shout outs to some new followers on Twitter. Scott Boys at why Bagama loves NASCAR Michigan and WWE. Sir, enjoy WrestleMania this weekend. Doug Fowler at IBDoug88 from Virginia, retired United States Air Force. Thank you for your service, sir, and a big NASCAR fan. And shout out to Toby Christie at Toby underscore Christie, host of the Final Lap at the Final Lap, for putting the Lap Traffic Podcast on their website. Props to that. Thank you very much. Don't forget to check out the store on the website. $15 t-shirts, traditional new logos are there. Hoodies, all that good stuff, travel mugs, stickers and koozies. I mailed a bunch out this past weekend. If you want one, visit the website, go to the contact page, send a request. Make sure to include your full name and full address, and I will get those mailed out to you. And make sure you tweet me a picture of that. And April is Autism Awareness Month. Don't forget to check out the Support Autism link on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Learn about Freddie the Pizza Man and what he's doing with his 501c3 charity for autism, trying to put in sensory rooms in schools in Metro Detroit. Freddie is just an awesome guy. Glad to have gotten to know him over the last couple of years. Go check that out. Got the Lap Traffic and Freddie the Pizza Man decals on the number 30 SS with Junker Motorsports. Those pictures are on the website. We'll definitely be doing some fundraising drives throughout the year, do some giveaways for those that donate. And if you can't donate, make sure you retweet. If you can donate, make sure you put Lap Traffic in the message so Freddie knows, and a portion will go to help his sponsorship with Junker Motorsports. And there might be some other new things coming out soon that will help get Lap Traffic out there more, which I am very excited about. All right. Business is done. Aaron's already on the line. Let's cue up the music. No need for the intro because he's already been on the show. Sir, Michigan got embarrassed by Texas Tech. Did not make it past the Sweet 16. What'd you think?
I think it was Beeline who had this quote. It was a bad day to have a bad day.
I like that. I might use that. It's just a bad day to have a bad day. That's a good one.
You know, it was good defense by Tech, and we knew that going in, that that's what they are known for, but as was Michigan. But that was just, I mean, you can say it's good defense. That was just a poor offensive performance.
Yes.
And where Tech got it together in the second half, Michigan never did. And it was just a disappointing end of the season. It doesn't take anything away from a 30-win seat. Well, theoretically, it shouldn't take anything away from a 30-win season.
Yep.
But it's not a great way to end it. It's, you know, lowest scoring performance in a half. Lowest scoring performance in a game. Is that true?
Might be. I'll take the thought on that. I'm not sure, but it's not, I mean, either way,
it sounds, you know, right. It was bad.
It was bad. So overall, how would you rate the season for Michigan basketball?
A minus, B plus. I'm actually going to take it back. I'm going to go B plus.
Okay.
You lost to your rival three times.
Yeah.
You made a Sweet 16. Okay, that's all well and good. You know, they theoretically could have had a shot through to the Final Four. I think a lot of people had that pick. But then you look at the brackets now. I'm not sure many people would have picked the brackets the way they're standing.
No. I mean, I busted on Duke. Obviously busted with the Michigan side of things. I had Kansas going in one, I think. In one of my brackets, I did have Michigan State in the Final Four, but no, I don't have any of the other three teams. So, yeah.
No, and it would be interesting, and I have not seen this number yet. I wonder if anybody picked that Final Four.
I'd be curious. I know that the Yahoo Sports, you know, pick the perfect bracket thing that busted early. Like, and that's crazy. Out of all the people that fill it out, like, you know, all the computer algorithms out there that could fill it out, like, not able to get one done perfectly, you know. How about two upsets on Sunday? First, let's talk about that Purdue-Virginia game, what ended up going into overtime. I was bummed for Purdue. Felt bad for our friend Brian Newdorf, Purdue alum. Well, Edwards lights out 42 or Purdue 75 points. That was a fun game to watch.
I am really glad we were back in the room to watch the end of that game, because we got back in with maybe 5 or 7 minutes left. And we put it on, and they're like, oh. And then you're kind of sitting watching the whole thing. And that one foul of maybe 20 seconds left, that I guess it really was a no call.
Yes. Yeah.
Boy, you look at that. I thought I've seen – okay, granted, he did – it was an offensive push-off. But, man, did he flop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I watch soccer. Yeah. I watch soccer. That may have earned a yellow card for diving in soccer.
Like yeah.
That was brutal. Now, granted, he did push off, but flailing your head back
– right.
And I saw it in slow. I saw it in slow-mo, so that made it a touch more dramatic.
All right. Sunday, two upsets. Auburn upsets Kentucky, and MSU upsets Duke. What do you think? MSU going to line up with Texas Tech, who took out Michigan. What do you think that game's going to shape up?
What do I want it to shape up? I'd almost just rather see Tech win.
Right? And that's just in-state rival right there. Like, I mean,
right.
My buddy owns a sports bar, so I was happy that state won for him because, you know, he's going to draw a big, nice crowd, which is good for his business. But that is literally the only reason why I was okay with state winning, you know.
And so. then Texas Tech wins and people drink more to drown their sorrows.
Right, yes. Yeah,
we can find a win-win in this for your
yes,
friend.
Yes, I like that. I like that.
But right. I think with Izzo getting the extra time to prepare.
Oh yeah, that'll help.
And have that will help.
Yep.
And you know, maybe, and I was thinking about this because I've heard somebody talking about Izzo's numbers since 2000. Maybe we have two Hall of Fame coaches in the state at the same time, and that's just an amazing statistic in itself.
That's I like where your head's at there. Let's recap the lapped traffic race a weather bracket challenge, which is a tongue twister in itself right there.
I don't want to.
Mick Rose still up top in the standings. Eric in second. Eric and Martin are tied in second. Chad in fourth. Robert in fifth. John, Jennifer are tied in sixth. Michael and Danny are tied in eighth. And my boy Eric Zalen wraps out the top 10 in the bracket challenge. I noticed we didn't say either of our names there, sir.
No, you got to kind of drift a little lower.
Yeah. I didn't even write it down.
I'm 16th. You're tied for 19th out of 23 active entries.
Strong showing there.
Hey, you know what?
Right.
We filled it out. You know what's going better is my lap track of NASCAR. Oh,
yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. All right. What do you say? We get a little weather from you. How is Bristol looking this weekend?
Well, warmer than Texas. I'll give you that. We'll start with that.
That's a plus.
Friday, Cup and Xfinity practice, and then Cup and Canon East qualifying. We have morning to midday showers and thunderstorms. They are going to become more scattered in the afternoon, which actually is in favor because morning's really widespread showers and thunderstorms. It'll go more scattered in the afternoon, so maybe we actually get qualifying in at Bristol. And then high of 74, low of 51. Saturday, partly sunny skies. I want to keep isolated showers in the forecast, and that's going to be more early. And that's for the ALSCO 300, which is the Xfinity race, and I just wanted to say this one. The Zombie Auto 150.
Nice.
Is sponsoring the K&N East Series.
Nice.
Partly sunny skies, morning isolated showers, high of 80, low of 53. Sunday for the Food City 500, the cup race, isolated showers and thunderstorms. It is a low confidence forecast. There are some discrepancies in the models, which is one of the downfalls of going this early, but it's also the upswing of going this early that your fans, our listeners, have this information. We could see some interruptions, high of 81, low of 56. So if you're going this weekend, bring a few ponchos.
All right.
Plan for a little bit of rain, but actually I'm feeling pretty fairly optimistic on things that we'll be able to fit in all, 850 laps.
Fantastic. Can I put you on the spot, sir?
Of course.
All right. Thursday, opening day in Detroit. I'm not liking what I'm seeing on weather.com. Can you improve the outlook for me for this Thursday?
I would love to. It looks like an increasing chance. Ooh, high of 44.
Yeah.
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 Tomorrow, though, 56 and sunny. That's the bummer. Tomorrow's going to be beautiful.
And then Thursday we have that's fun. I'm looking at some of the forecast models actually dropped from snow and freezing rain.
Awesome. I'll be in the bar.
Yeah, I think it might be a good place for you.
All right, before we get you out of here, since you were on and you're at the race this weekend, Aaron, what are your lucky dog and lap down picks for the race weekend?
A lucky dog's got to be Denny Hamlin. Okay. Not only winning the race, but be able to overcome what he overcame with the two penalties and just having a really strong car.
Sure.
Lap down. Can I go cup qualifying?
Absolutely.
Cup qualifying.
Fantastic.
Excuse me. Yeah, just it's disappointing to see it again.
Yes.
You know, you think after Fontana and things kind of get figured out, but to see it again, and I wasn't in the stands for this, and I probably would have booed like everybody else in the stands did.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. Alrighty, sir. Thank you for the extended time. I was glad we were able to make this work to get you on. Since you were at the race this weekend, I thought that was a lot of fun. Everyone, make sure you are following Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web at RaceWeather.net. Sir, it was a blast, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Glad I could be on the show this week. It's really fun talking about the stuff.
Absolutely. All right, we'll see you.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Always great to catch up with Aaron there. Glad he was able to come on and talk racing while he was since he was at the track this past weekend. All right, let's keep the show rolling. Let's get to your lucky dog and lap down picks from the weekend. You guys know what to do. Make sure you tweet your lucky dog lap down picks after the race each weekend, or you can call the Wave Around hotline 248-965-9538. I'll play them back, tag you guys in some stuff after the show each week. And don't forget, I'm keeping a tally of everyone's lucky dog lap down picks. I got a big, long spreadsheet going. Can't wait to see how that shapes up towards the end of the year. All right, I'm going to roll with my lucky dog pick of the race for a second week in a row. Clint Bowyer for his second place finish and putting together a solid race at the mile and a half track of Texas. And my lap down, pit road, way too many penalties across all three series. I couldn't believe the amount of mistakes that I saw on pit road. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. David at DFlint14's lucky dog is Suarez. Great consistent run today and a great third place finish. Lap down, he's got two. Goodyear for tires that don't wear out. And DW for comparing Keselowski at Martinsville to today at Texas. Two completely different tracks. Happy, maybe his last year. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick's lucky dog has to be Hamlin. Overcame two penalties. Lap down Hamlin for having two penalties. I love it, Mick. I love it. Linda at RacingGal_FL's a lucky dog. Everyone, this was a fantastic race. You've got that right. It's a great race weekend all around. Lap down Team Penske with mechanical issues all over their cars. Can't argue with you there. Andrew at the Pyro Fretnik's lucky dog. Hamlin coming back from two laps down early to win the race. A lap down, Team Penske's mechanical woes that put two of their three cars behind the wall. Honorable mention to NASCAR as the aero package finally worked like I believe it was intended. Yeah, I definitely think this was the best that we've seen at a mile and a half with the new rules package there. Lisa at LL Chinana's lucky dog. Hamlin with his penalties, then the win. Lap down, Team Penske, their cars had all kinds of issues. I am seeing a trend here, folks. Rowdy Dragon at the Rowdy Dragon's lucky dog. Team 48 finally showed up to a race, backed up his practice qualifying efforts. Has Hendrick found something, question mark? Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog. Me not here in DW. Blab about KB and Toyota. Lap down, me again, because I didn't get to see the race. Joe at Joel Nolf. Lucky Dog goes to Jimmy Johnson for finally having a decent run. A lap down goes to Ryan Blaney and me for picking him to win. Hey, I feel you. Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie's Lucky Dog. Ryan Sieg helped himself in a big way, scoring his first stage win in his career and getting another top 10 in Texas. A lap down, Team Penske, victory lane 1 week, mechanical issues the next with all three cars. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, a Lucky Dog. Eric Jones overcoming an early spin to finish fourth. A lap down, Goodyear. Tires are able to last so long, it's hurting the racing. Need some tire wear to affect the race. I can't disagree with you there. And John at D-Nators, Lucky Dog, qualifying. Too much drama for us to handle. A lap down, commercials. What happened during the commercial 500 at Texas? I see what you did there, John. I see you. I see you. All right, those are the tweets. Let's get to the calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I thought we saw great racing in all three series this weekend at Texas, and that really makes me happy. I don't think I've heard any complaints. I haven't really seen anything on Twitter. I haven't heard any, you know, people calling in on the radio saying that they didn't like it. The only thing I'm seeing negative about the weekend was the, you know, cup qualifying, but overall, I think it was a great weekend of racing, and it just felt really good. My lucky dog has to go to Denny for coming back after those pit road mishaps and being able to get back and actually win the race. That really doesn't seem to happen to him very often. He just always suffers. You know, pit road mistake after pit road mistake, but this time it really worked in his favor. I had to think long and hard for a lap down. I really couldn't think of one, but actually I'm going to have to give it to Penske this week because they just really had nothing going for them. They really went south. They got my lucky dog last week, and this week they're getting my lap down. And that's all I got for now. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for calling again. I appreciate it. And, yeah, you're right on par with everyone else. Hamlin and Penske definitely taking the lucky dog and lap down picks this weekend. And like you said, it was a great race. Great weekend of racing. It really was. All right, let's get over to Mr. Andrew Kansian on the Wave Around Hotline.
What's up, Brandon? We're getting back from my my second favorite track in NASCAR behind only Kentucky. And I say that with complete sarcasm. But nonetheless, we got a good race by Texas standards. Now, that's really not saying much because that's like saying a pile of dog shit. Really doesn't smell that bad, but it still smells like shit. But it was interesting to see all the different strategies play out and the aero package. You know, I assume that's how it was intended to work, unlike, you know, what we saw at Vegas, the other track we ran it at, I forget which one, Auto Club, which probably had something to do with the cooler temperatures. I mean, I know it was pretty cool out there in Texas, and with the PJ1, traction compound, boogers, whatever the hell you want to call that crap, you know, worked as they intended it to. Yeah, that's kind of all I have to say about it. I don't expect really to see that, especially as the weather gets warmer. It'd be actually really interesting to see that Kansas under the lights. Really won't be too hot. So that's going to be the next race. I think we see it kind of work the way they wanted it to, but my expectations are very low with this package, as I've made very clear. Lap down, I'm going to put the Hendrick cars. Lucky Dog, my bad. I'm going to put the Hendrick cars as the Lucky Dog. I know they didn't really finish as well. Some of them wanted to. But Jimmy Johnson, man, ran really well. Chase ran well. Willie B ran well. You know, Bowman had the issue with the backup car, so that kind of sucked for him. But, yeah, they ran well on laps and got stuck in traffic with that spoiler that you have to look up and, you know, get binoculars to because it's so goddamn big. Lap down, I'm going to say Denny Hamlin just because I had to watch Denny Hamlin win a race, and that's never good because he's a jerk-off. And then the other lap down is going to be my softball team on campus is currently suspended by the school for chirping the lacrosse team because, you know, we were being mean to them and chirping them. So I might or might not have been a part of that. You know, we'll see if we get unsuspended in time for our next game. Take care, bud.
Ah, Mr. Andrew Canton. I love it. So two things I want to highlight there that you mentioned. Intended. It was how they intended it. Doesn't mean it was still good. Intended. Like I said, I thought the racing was great this weekend. You know, I guess I could add, as by Texas standards would go, kind of like we got with Chicago last year. It was a great race as far as Chicago standards are concerned. So I enjoyed the racing this weekend. And you mentioned the boogers, the compound down. I would have loved to have seen that with a little bit more tire fall off and it actually stick, you know, so that you're not sliding around on the restarts. Because I don't think that's what they intended, is to be sliding around on restarts. Kind of defeats the whole purpose of laying that down there. So I think that would have been nice to see if we could have gotten a little fall off there. Anyways, appreciate the calls, everyone. It's your segment, basically. I absolutely love it. I can't wait to see what you guys come up with next week for Bristol. That said, it's time to talk a little fantasy. Get your picks in, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I love the Twitter interaction. MOATF is taking a pounding on social media from the Lap Traffic Fantasy players, which is hysterical. Let's see here. 7 races to go in segment 1. It is winding down here. It will be over and we'll be resetting before you know it. No race winners picked this week, partly due to Kyle winning in Truck and Xfinity. And big props to Mick Rose for sending me stats to send out each week on the top picks on Friday night. And Mick sent me a note on Sunday while he was computing everything that Denny has won twice and no one has picked him in either race. That's pretty interesting. Week high, a little higher this week, considering is how all 3 series ran, was 136 by Brad Carnes with his picks of Busch, Bell, and Friesen. Second place week high was a 134 by Crystal and my uncle Matt with their picks of Kyle, Bell, and Enfinger. My picks of Moffitt and Cole Custer, not so hot there, wrecking out in both the truck and the Xfinity race. And Harvick, you know, he did okay. Got me a total of 170. Got me a total of 70 points. Let's see here. Run down the standings here. Brad Carnes is our new leader in first place with 739. Robert Keplinger falls to second with 721. And Rob, I'm sorry. It's because we had the same picks. Picks are cursed. Mine are anyways, at least. So I feel horrible. Jesse Rose in third with 718. John Entwistle in fourth with 712. Mr. Matt Crowd, Uncle Matt in fifth with 709. The MOATF podcast in sixth with 708. Chad Robb in seventh with 701. Two-way tie for eighth with Mick Rose and Ted Anderson with 692. David James is in ninth with 688. And John Warrington wraps out the top 10 with 682. Lap Traffic Nation, 7 weeks in, and after sitting up top for 4 weeks, Rob Keplinger, as I mentioned, has been unseated as the leader because, unfortunately, he had the same picks I had. I've said it all year. I am a bust. Our new leader, Brad Carnes, was not able to get a hold of him this week. That said, who better to have as the guest picker this week than none other than Mr. Mick Rose. Mick, what's up, my man? How are you?
I'm doing good. Enjoying the spring weather.
Excellent. Fantastic. For those that don't know, Mick gives me a hand each week with the fantasy, which I appreciate. Mick has been called out numerous times by the MOATF podcast for cheating. However, if you pay attention on Twitter, Mick sends his tweets out on Monday, before I even do the show. Mick's got his tweet picks out for the following week. So it is definitely a clean fantasy league here, sir. I got to add, you know, what do you have to say to the MOATF podcast and all their shenanigans?
Oh, it's all good fun, but their day's coming. They're in front of me now, so I have nothing to say. You know, I can't you know, I can't trash talk in the rear. So,
well, they're not ahead of you by much. That's for sure.
Yeah, I picked Blaney last week, and it was looking good for a little while, and then it went up in smoke.
Yes, it did. All of Team Penske. What did you think of the racing this past weekend?
Oh, man. The whole 2019 season, I've just been hard to get a grip on. I don't know what it is. The cars are close together, but
yeah,
it's different. It's different. It's just a different style racing, and I'm trying to get used to it.
That's
you know, adjust and
yeah,
and figure it out. But it is definitely different. I can't say I have loved it, but I don't absolutely hate it. I'm just
you're along for the ride.
Yeah, it's not. There's nothing that's said, wow, yet. You know, and maybe those days are coming.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll continue to watch to find out, but I have not been wowed yet.
That's fair, sir. I understand completely where you're coming from there, sir. what do you say? You ready to make some picks?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Mick, we are headed to the Last Great Coliseum this weekend for some more short track racing at Bristol. A couple of Busch guys have been to Victory Lane there as of late. Kurt picking up the win in August, and Kyle won this race last year and picked up the fall win in 2017. Does Kyle keep the hot streak going? What about Kyle Larson? He finished second in both Bristol races last year. Can he rebound from his rough go at Texas this past weekend? Jimmy Johnson picked up a pair of top tens last year. Can he keep it going for 2 weeks in a row? What about Clint Bowyer? Kevin Harvick also had two top tens last year at Bristol. Can either of those guys get their first win in 2019 and their first win for Stuart Haas in 2019? Seven races in, only four winners and two winning race teams. There are a lot of hungry drivers and race teams out there. Who will get it done at some short track racing at Bristol? We will find out this weekend. But first, it is time for our picks. Mick, who is your Xfinity pick for this weekend?
I'm going with Tyler Reddick.
Tyler Reddick. I like that. Mick, I am going a little outside the box because I need to try to score some big points and get ahead of some people. I am going with Brandon Jones for my Xfinity series pick. Let's move over to the Cup Series, sir. Who do you got?
I'm going with Young Money, Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson to get it done. No longer a bridesmaid at Bristol for Mr. Mick Rose and Kyle Larson. Sir, I was torn. I was bouncing between Kyle Busch, but everybody is going to be picking Kyle Busch. And like I said, I got to go outside the box. Clint Bowyer had a good run. Could have had a good run at Martinsville. Back to short track. I'm going with the number 14 of Clint Bowyer.
All right.
So,
solid pick.
I like it. All right. Those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Make sure you're keeping the social media interaction up. Mick, thanks so much for calling in. And who knows? Maybe we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. You too. We'll see ya. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 120 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out Freddie the Pizza Man Autism Charity Link on the website. Make sure you put Lap Traffic in the message. Don't forget about the giveaway. So close to 3,500 Twitter followers. Go tell your friends. Big thanks to Aaron Studwell and Mick Rose for calling into the show. Next week, I think I've got two guests lined up already, so next week should be awesome. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!